Hello, this is Joe the Grief, and this is Will's Band of the Week, the best podcast in the world. Are you ready for an amazing show? Let's get going. Run, dun, 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 dun.
This is Will's Band of the Week for July 28th, 2019. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Chris, live in studio.
Hey, I'm here.
And David from the Indie Rock Stardom Bureau in Brooklyn.
I'm here.
Yeah. That was a totally spontaneous naming of the bureau. I think that's a little clumsy. So I think we're going to just keep calling it the New York City
Bureau.
Yeah,
you might want to fix that in post.
Yeah. Every... I go through basically every word.
There's post?
Yeah, each word that is not perfect gets edited. That's why we sound so smooth.
You just auto-tune it.
Yeah.
And it might be better.
What would that sound like if you just talked through auto-tune?
Oh, God. That would be painful.
So for the listeners who might not have been able to understand, if you couldn't understand the intro, that was Jordy Greep from Black Midi. Introducing the podcast. Obviously, he's a big fan. You can tell he's a big fan, right?
I'm sure he listens every week.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus, he knew that Chris was such a big fan, so he thought, you know, I got to milk this for everything I can, right?
Okay. I cannot take credit for that.
Well, there's so much excitement, and I guess a lot of that consists of live reports. So here we go. Before we get to the actual live reports, I should mention that Chris is enjoying some whiskey in the studio in a 38 special commemorative glass.
I absolutely am.
Wow.
Right? The podcast glasses that Jeremiah sent us. Let's say, holding on loosely since 2009.
Jeremiah is a mensch.
Yeah.
This is...
It's amazing, right?
So, yeah, it's a it's like a crystal glass that says Will's BOT Week. I assume that's Band of the Week.
Yeah.
Holding on loosely since 2009, as we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary.
We haven't decided what we're doing for the anniversary yet.
Oh, man. It's going to be a blowout.
Weren't we going to try to have everybody on at once?
I think Black Midi is going to be on in person, right?
Yeah, you'd think so. They'll come into the studio, do an in-studio performance, right?
We might just melt Skype.
Right.
Yeah.
All got on at once with Black Midi, or with or without Black Midi.
The computers would start, like, smoke would start coming out of the computer, probably.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. You know what? Chris, you mentioned that you have like a pseudo live report. So let's do that one first.
So we need to have somewhat of a debate whether this counts as a live report, because I was not actually physically there, but I slavishly watched the Pitchfork Festival live feed last weekend. And so it's almost like you're there. But not really.
And not like 97 degrees like it was there.
Well, 97 degrees and night two, where I guess that would be Saturday night, when Kurt Vile and Belle and Sebastian and some other luminaries were supposed to play, they shut the festival down because of rain and lightning.
And then but I think I read that Belle and Sebastian actually did play, right?
Did they? I don't know. I stopped watching, and I assume they just... Because they cleared out the entire festival grounds. I don't know how you get everybody back in.
I'm not even sure now. Because I thought I read that they played, but then I couldn't remember, because I remember one link I found was to, you know, it was a preview.
Oh.
So, you know, then that wouldn't have... So,
And they were supposed to be playing the entire If You're Feeling Sinister album, which is one of their old albums, which is fantastic.
I think I saw a reference that they actually played. So somebody should fill us in on that. So, yeah, we didn't have a representative on the ground, but we did have Chris sitting in front of his computer watching.
Well, I think if people can post reviews of restaurants they haven't been to yet,
then
certainly Chris can review, you know, a live broadcast.
So when Chris watching. Chris sent us all an alert saying, "Hey, there's a live feed," and so I turned it on when Soccer Mommy was playing.
Yeah,
she looked good.
Yeah,
and they're doing quality audio and video, right?
So here's my.
It was great.
You watched it?
I don't want to sound like an old person, which I am, but you know, I was watching the feed on my phone, walking the streets, the hot, sweaty streets of Brooklyn. And I thought, well, this is kind of amazing. I'm watching a live concert. I mean, and it wasn't breaking up either. It was, you know, coming through just fine. I'm watching a live concert in Chicago, walking down the street in New York. It's amazing. The technology is amazing.
The best part of it is that the speakers on your phone are so good that it sounded like you were there, right?
Well, I had my headphones on. It was great.
Well, that's,
Sounds great.
I can see it.
For all the complaining about technology that I do, there are just some amazing things that happen as a result. So that is technologically amazing. What is not technologically amazing is that Pitchfork, while you're watching this on YouTube, on the side they have a running chat with anybody who wants to chat about like what's going on stage. And the entire Soccer Mommy set, there are dudes on there talking about like the size of her thighs and like that's the whole running commentary. It's unbelievable. First of all, that they would let this happen, and that like you know, and there were other female artists on later in the night, and they just it's just gross.
Man,
it ruined my my appreciation of it.
The internet is just licensed to be a total ass, right?
So let's have it, like young women on playing music and then have people anonymously be able to comment on any aspect of it that they want. It's just gross.
Yeah. I didn't even I didn't see those comments. So
yeah,
I was luckily, I guess I just didn't have to see it.
So I don't think the festival, the entire lineup was exactly strong this year. So I watched like Soccer Mommy, I watched Low, I watched a little bit of Haim, who I'm not like a big fan of, but I just kind of wanted to see what. I mean, there are people that literally like follow them around the country because they're so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, I watched the next afternoon I watched Chai, which I thought was amazing.
I saw a little bit of that. Yeah.
So Chai plays their songs and then they walk off and they come out dressed as like in green like dinosaur outfits and they dance for a little while and then they go back to their instruments and they play some more and then they start throwing water balloons at the crowd and it was just like, you know, when we saw them in South by Southwest, you can't help but leave with like a huge smile on your face. And I think everybody, as you watch them walk away from the Chai show on the live feed, everybody was just like overwhelmed with joy from having seen it.
That's great.
But then, yeah, let's see. I watched a little bit of Parquet Courts. Who'd I watch the next day? Yeah, there really weren't a whole lot that there's a Chicago band called La 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 La.
Yeah,
who I'd never heard
of.
Oh, we've talked about
them on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. You had them on the podcast or talked about them?
Yeah.
I went back and I listened to their album. I liked it a lot, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, they were kind of locals and it looked like they had maybe a lot of local fans in the crowd. Low was amazing. Like you get a half hour set at these shows and they played like a 20-minute you know, kind of just like a fuzz feedback and drums song, which was amazing. I'm trying to think who else played. Not a lot too exciting, but I watched it. So
in the comfort of your home.
I did.
Yeah.
I mean, they have people like some woman named Charlie XCX.
Oh, yeah.
Who was one of the headliners.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah, I've heard of that, and it didn't seem too appealing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would give it a solid C this year. the Pitchfork Festival. Barrett and I went a few years ago and saw Ty Segall and Real Estate and, Vampire Weekend and Kendrick Lamar and the OCs.
Man, you've got a great memory.
Yeah, we saw all those bands, and it was just it was a phenomenal day. Yeah.
I went with Grant about 4 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
And let's see if I can remember who we saw. We saw Savages, Swans. Remember them? They're kind of cutting edge. Parquet Courts were there that year. God, it seems like maybe Speedy Ortiz, but I'm not sure. Yeah, I think so. Who else? Lowe was there that year, too.
Ah.
So it was overall
Pitchfork
pretty good.
Favorites.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so that's the fake live report.
Is it rude of me to ask why there are festivals in Chicago in the middle of the summer? Because it seems like you're playing with fire, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know.
It tends to be about 99 degrees, right?
Well, the year we went, it was really nice weather. It was maybe a high of 80 or something. It was okay. But you're right. I think there have been a lot of years where it's been really, really hot. They have another festival in Chicago in mid-September called Riot Fest. And
Now Chicago has the Pitchfork Festival. They have Lollapalooza. And the Onion actually put the AV Club puts on a festival there as well.
Onion Fest?
Yeah, something like that.
Huh. So yeah, they have a lot of them. All right. So that's the fake live report.
Yeah.
Now for the real live report. So, Chris, maybe you should introduce this.
Because
there's the recorded part that we have to play first.
Right. So everybody on the podcast that listens to the podcast regularly is aware of my feelings about Black Midi.
I don't know if they are necessarily.
Are they? So we went and we saw Sesame at South by Southwest, and then she leaves the stage and she's like, "You're going to love this band coming up after me." And they get on there and it was... I will generously say...
Not to your liking.
It was extremely not for me. And I think I may have said after the fact that it was like, if Diabetes was a band.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Now I remember.
I think those were my exact words.
You know, when I saw them at South by Southwest, I didn't really get into them either. But I kind of like their album. I think it's, interesting and fun. And, you know, it's a little bit uneven, but it's designed to be uneven, I think.
Yeah, that's their whole thing. So I went, I saw that Barrett, I don't know if he jokingly invited me to go see them because they were playing for free here in Madison out on the terrace, which is an absolutely beautiful place. It's out on a lake and you can go, you know, see them with the sun going down and the lake behind you. And I don't know if he jokingly invited me, but I legitimately accepted. I non-ironically accepted just because I wanted to see. Because this is, you have to understand that the terrace is a place where youngsters and oldsters go to drink and, you know, in peace and not in peace and quiet, but, you know, go and have a good time.
By the lake. Cool setting.
Yes.
Yeah.
People love drinking by water for some reason. And I just wanted to see the look on people's faces when they started playing. So I was kind of somewhat, you know, for writers, we don't have bad experiences. We just have more things to write about. That's the way I like looking at things.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I know Barrett wanted to go. So being a good friend, I thought I would accompany him and at least get some beer out of the deal.
And I would have gone, by the way, but I was at the Brewer game.
No, stop. You're ruining it.
Brewers were getting crushed. It was terrible.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
So we went. And while we were drinking beers before the band actually started, I believe we actually whipped out the phone and did a little live report, if there is such a thing. And I think we'll probably hear that very soon.
Yeah, here it is.
All right, this is Chris and Barrett. We're at Memorial Union here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. About to go see Black Midi, my favorite band. Yeah. And here's Barrett.
Yeah, the sun just went down. It's... there's a local opener from Madison. They were, whatever, they're fine. I've got a picture of Fantasy Factory. And real excited about the band. Like, Chris is actually not. He's excited to watch the people recoil in horror that just came here to drink beer after work. But I'm actually excited for real. So we'll see.
I should be clear that if you've listened to the podcast, I'm not a fan of Black Midi, but I'm a fan of the experience. And this is a free show, so why not? Why not come drink beer on an 80-degree night on a lake?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, couldn't be better.
I mean, if you look at the setting, the setting is unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
We're kind of on the second tier, first row. You could throw a baseball left-handed at the stage very easily. You hit it as a righty. And behind it, a dozen sailboats. Pink sky behind the, you know, after the sunset. It's unbelievable. So.
It is a good time. And I am kind of curious as to watching the people who just came here for a beer, what their reaction is going to be when Black Midi starts playing, as they are... I guess you would say unorthodox. Would that be the word you'd use?
Yeah, I'd say so. But there are more people like standing in front of the stage than you almost ever see at a show at the Union. So a lot of people came out to see them, especially. But looking around, a lot of them didn't too. You can kind of like separate them into two groups without too much trouble, I think.
All right. Well, that's our live report here from on a Wednesday night here at the UW-Madison. I'm sorry, it's a Tuesday night. Had too many beers. So we will be back with you next week on Will's Band of the Week.
All right.
Okay. That's the pre-show live report.
If you haven't had the opportunity to listen to yourself drunk, and then... I would really take that opportunity.
So anyway, well, how did it go from that point forward, Chris? I want to know how you reacted as a person there watching for other people's reactions.
Okay, so as soon as they started playing, the entire front row cleared out. Like, they were gone. They wanted nothing to do with it.
The front row of tables.
Yeah, the front row of tables. Yeah. They just all left.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that, some of them, those people might have been just there waiting, and they got up and walked up to the stage, you know, so it wasn't. Here's what I'll say what I said to Barrett afterwards. I walked away with more of an appreciation for at least the musicianship, the timing. They're obviously very well rehearsed, which isn't really all that much of a, you know, a nice thing to say about a band, a compliment. That's like saying, like, I really like this guy because he's very punctual. But listening to Black Midi is... So for people like me, we listen to music and we listen to a song. And it's like an individual song. And we, okay, I like the song, I don't like the song. And then we listen to the next song. And I like the song or we don't like the song. For Black Midi, it's a little more, you have to think big picture. Like, what... Yeah. You have to broaden your mind and just be like... What are they trying to accomplish throughout this entire show, throughout this entire album, and just kind of go with more of the kind of the scenery rather than the individual, you know, type of things that they're doing? So I said it's like playing chess rather than checkers. When I listen to music, it's playing checkers. It's like, you know, this one song, this other song, and I kind of add them up, and do I like this album? But with Black Midi, it's just like... You kind of have to see the entire picture, I guess. So I appreciate them a little bit more. If I took them from a scale of 1 to 10, they would be up to like a 2 instead of
a 2 instead of a 1
instead of a 0. But no, I actually enjoyed the show. Like, you know, there are some real touches there where, you know, you just kind of where they really get rocking and then they pull back. And I just kind of like the... You know, kind of the difference in cadence and that type of stuff. So I actually really enjoyed myself, I have to say.
What did Barrett say about it, since he's not here to...
Oh, Barrett loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He loved every second of it.
Great. All right.
So we're the one podcast where we have the guy that hates the band the most, like, review the... Yeah. Do the live review.
Well, yeah. It's interesting. I mean, we don't usually have this big a divergence in taste. on right. any particular band, do we?
I mean, not usually. I mean, I think
we have people who are lukewarm and people who are enthusiastic, but
Black Midi is that way.
Love and hate thing going.
Black Midi is that way. They're a little bit polarizing.
Would you call it, so it's called math rock, or what would
it
you call
could
it?
Be. I guess so. I mean, I hadn't really tried to come up with the right label, but I guess it's sort of math rock.
I, being a child of the grunge era, like, you know, you had a lot of grunge bands that were, you know, kind of same, and, you know, some of them veered a little bit left or right. But like Primus to me was the band that kind of had the off timing rhythms and kind of the, you know, the gibberish vocals and that type of stuff. And I kind of feel like maybe this is like the new Primus.
Oh, you would really offend Barrett with that.
No, we discussed this on the way.
Barrett hates Primus, though. I mean, he and I are kind of united in our hatred of Primus.
But I feel like they're almost kind of like the same type of...
Yeah, that doesn't mean you can't compare the two. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting.
I mean, Primus is different in that I think Black Midi is more focused on the drums. Like, the drummer is absolutely amazing. And I think it's more focused on the rhythm, whereas Primus is more focused on Les Claypool's bass guitar.
Yeah.
But I do feel like just kind of the off rhythm timing, and then the the difference in the cadence and the rhythms. I think there's some comparisons to be made there. Let's just say that.
So I think we should also mention that
I actually kind of like Primus, by the way.
All right. Don't you think that you should add a little? You should raise them up a little bit just for Jordy Greep recording the promo for us.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Good, I mean, that seemed like a solid dude.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So thank you, Jordy. That was very cool of you.
G E O R D I.
I thought there was an E on the end there. There's not.
Oh, is there?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Yeah. But it's the G E O rather than the J O.
I'm sorry, Jordy, if you're listening, because you obviously do every week, because he knew who we were.
Yeah.
Who was the band in Scotland that... Was it the Stroppies that knew who we were?
Yeah. Yeah, this is my shirt I'm wearing today.
Aha, nice.
Gus from the Stroppies. Super cool guy.
I love the Stroppies.
Yeah. Everybody's got to talk to Gus. He's a super cool guy. All right.
Well, that just shows what an honest, straightforward podcast we are, because even though they've done a promo for us, we brought on the guy that hates them and gave him a platform, right?
Yeah. I think that's so pretty great of us. Yeah,
not going to be influenced by cheap tricks like getting a promo like that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Barrett bought a T-shirt as well, so if you see him around Madison, he'll be wearing his Black Midi T-shirt.
Oh man, that makes him cool. Yeah, David, you are in Brooklyn. Do you have any live reports since the last time you've been on? Seems like you would.
No, did I guess I gave my last. Yeah, I did it. Nope, I have nothing since the last time I was on. What a shame. I'm really falling down on the job here, aren't I?
That's
the whiskey
bottle.
That is
Will opening a whiskey bottle. Mm. Can I do my live report from 1977?
Oh, yeah. That's right. You got to do that one.
So I'm working on a project where I go back and I read old newspapers. And one of them, like locally, the Capital Times from 1977. Evidently, this little known band then came and played in Madison.
What was the venue? Did it say?
It's El Tejon
here in Madison. I don't know what that is.
So this was a punk rock band, and the review of the concert goes, "Ah, punk rock. A new bone for the press to chew on. A radical new tendency in music. A style that will sweep the rock world before it with even more guns blazing than glitter or heavy metal. Or maybe not." Anyway, we got a look at one of the most famous punk rock groups at El Tejon Thursday night at a crowded, at least during the first set, club heard this band from New York punch away at their classics Gimme Gimme Shock Treatment, Teenage Lobotomy, I Wanna Be Your Boyfriend, and Rock, Rock, Rockaway Beach, which is not the name of the song, but he goes anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
The Ramones are famous, quote-unquote, he puts famous in quotes, because they've been mentioned in nearly every piece done on punk rock in the national press, including the magazine New Times and that leading underground weekly, The National Observer. They are billed as one of the best bands in the field, which doesn't say much for the field. Like lots of other developments in rock, this one represents an attitude and a state of mind and not a breakthrough in music. On the contrary, the four brothers, Johnny Ramone, Joey Ramone, Dee Dee Ramone, four and brothers. Tommy Ramone. Yeah, he actually thinks they're brothers. Have a repertoire of exactly three chords in no more than three keys. That's it. There are absolutely no variations and not a single guitar solo. Just your basic triad pounded out on a bank of speakers at maximum volume. And then he goes on and on. At the very end, the Ramones are more fun as sociology. That became clear in the second set Thursday night when Joey grabbed the mic and said, "This is a new single and it's called Sheena is a Punk Rocker." He grabbed a mic and said exactly the same thing in the middle of the first set. Maybe it was those particular three chords he wanted to remember forever. The opening act was Nicknames, a hard-driving group of middle 60s rockers who had no less intensity than the main act, but a lot of solos and clean, crisp lines. I'd go back to hear Nicknames again, but I'm not sure a $2.50 cover is worth a state of mind, unless, that is, you're desperately looking for one. So this guy totally trashes the Ramones in favor of a band called the Nicknames.
Guys in their 60s.
Yeah, from the 60s.
Wow. Oh, from the 60s, okay.
Yeah.
What does it say who the writer is?
Should I call out the guy's name on the podcast?
Yeah, I remember one music writer, but it's probably not him.
Dave Wagner is the guy's name.
Okay.
Who gave the... You never want to be that guy who forever gives the Ramones a terrible review when they come and play in person.
So. Yeah.
I don't know.
Meanwhile,
if he's still around, he's probably out there, you know, telling people, waxing nostalgic about the time
he saw the Ramones
in a tiny little club. His, and they were fabulous.
Right. His story is now like, I was just blown away. I couldn't believe what I was witnessing.
There was a time you wrote something and probably thought that it wasn't going to live forever, but then you're in 2019.
Yeah.
Through internet searches, you can come back. I also found
it. Someone like Chris can stick a pin right through you and pin you to the wall.
Eat it, Dave Wagner. You'll never live this down.
Do you ever do that, Chris? Have you ever read like a column you wrote like 20 years ago and say, "Oh shit, that was really bad"?
Oh, absolutely. I just read one the other night where I won't say which one it is because I don't want people looking it up, but it had some very unfortunate references.
Yeah.
And yeah, so this is what it's going to be like 20 years from now when people listen to this and hear my review of Black Midi.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Black Midi is
then,
the next
be in the rock
queen
and roll
or something.
Thing.
Yeah,
right.
Everyone but Chris loved them.
The Black Midi induction ceremony. They're going to be playing this.
Yeah, the only guy who didn't get it, what we were doing. Hey, did you see Barrett? Sent us a link to this video. It was this little kid that plays stuff for his dad, and it's what is it called? Dad Reacts.
Yeah.
It's a series of videos. I had never seen it before.
This is a thing on the internet.
Yeah,
what the kids do. Yeah,
Dad reacts to Black Midi, and he's playing it for his dad. This is the cutest, like 11-year-old kid. It's just amazing. So I don't know. I guess I read a little bit about it, and I guess the dad's an old, aging rocker like us, listen to punk rock and stuff, and the kid started getting into some hip hop stuff, and he's like, "I gotta play this stuff for my dad. I want him to kind of understand. He doesn't have a perspective on this." And he started making all these videos of playing stuff for his dad and getting his dad's reaction. So anyway, there's a Black Midi one. It's great. Okay, enough live reports now. I can't believe David has no live reports. I mean, we send the guy to Brooklyn, get him an apartment. We got him a nice new apartment there.
Aren't we paying your expenses?
A studio, yeah. And he just has no live reports. I just can't believe it. All right. Let's see. Let's check our time here. Let's talk about our bands we're going to talk about this week. We can add a feature later if we need to, right? Because we're spontaneous.
Sure.
So, there's a band called Bleached. And they were they're a little controversial among the podcasters.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the reason Barrett's not here is because he doesn't like Bleached.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'll explain this more, but I started off kind of on a bad foot with them, but then it kind of came around. But I think, Chris, you're the most previously stated Bleached fan, so you should start the discussion.
So as I listen to our old podcasts, especially the ones that I'm on, because, I mean, let's be honest, I don't listen to the ones that I'm not on.
Yeah, why would you bother?
I'm joking. I do. I do. But I keep saying, like, in my wheelhouse, like, that's my thing. I just say it over and over again. I'll say it, like, three times in a minute. So if you're a regular listener to the podcast, I'm sorry for repeating the same phrase over and over. But this band's in my wheelhouse. They had an album from 2016 that I believe was in my top 10. And they had one even before then, which is a little kind of more sugary pop. It's almost like, I'm drawing a blank, who's the band that I really like that sounds like the 90s? Cloud Nothing. Cloud Nothings.
Mm-hmm.
They have like a first album that they tried out, which is just like really super poppy. And
yeah.
Then they moved on.
And then they got more aggressive. Cloud Nothings did. Yeah.
Right. Bleached is the same way. They have a first album that's like really kind of like that, but then the second one is totally, you know, Best Coasty type of like power pop, and it's great. And I had it in my top 10, and I loved it. This one a little bit different. This one it took a little while to grow on me. It's got it's not, you know, the Ramones style three power chords. As Mike Wagner or whatever the guy's name would say. At some point he says, like, the Ramones brought all three of their chords to Madison. Like, there's a caption to a picture that says that.
But, you know, you better not listen to blues then, because blues songs have three chords,
yeah,
basically.
Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. So, I mean, come on.
I only looked this up because I've been on, like, a real Ramones kick lately.
Yeah.
You got to go back and you got to like dig into even the bands that you know are great. You got to go check them out every now and then. So,
yeah.
So Bleached. We're back to them.
Yes, we are.
They are sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're twins, aren't they?
Are they twins? Well, Waxahachie, those are the twins.
Maybe they're not twins.
Are there just twins taking over the music industry?
Oh, I'm not sure. Okay.
I just stepped on your dog. I'm sorry.
He didn't care, apparently.
So this one is not as like power poppy. There's like disco elements. It's slowed down a little bit in spots. So it took me a little while to kind of figure out what was going on here. But once I did, I really, really liked it. So let me we'll have a discussion about the lyrics and such later. But let me start with the song Somebody Dial 911.
Bleached.
So you're listening.
That was one of my top picks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
So you're listening to that song, and you're like, "Oh, it's dancey. It's, you know, it's disco. It's happy, and then you listen to the lyrics and you're like, oh my god, she's in a relationship with a guy who's on heroin, and it's cripplingly depressing. Like, you only like me when you're swimming in dopamine, and oh.
So is the 911, is that a reference to that? I mean, because when I first heard it, I thought, okay, this is just a hokey lyric, you know, dial 911 because I'm falling in love. It's like, come on. So it's kind of a turnoff for me.
No.
At first. Now, yeah. But if there's more depth, then I understand that. But it eventually kind of won me over musically, even though, like, the lyrics kind of... And I don't know. I had a little bit of a feeling like they're not really going for aging rockers with this. Like, this is not, like, aging rocker music. So I kind of felt like... This isn't almost like it's not my place to like this music, you know. But but it kind of won me over because it's got the songs are not the same. They're interesting. They're musically cool and fun.
I want to hear what David says about this. I've been talking too much. Go ahead.
Yeah, David.
Well, I have to admit I did not know who Bleached was prior to this, and in fact I was thinking, well, there's Bleachers. I know who they are. And this is not Bleachers, this is Bleached. Okay, it's a different band. No idea. So I immediately fell for this record. I think it's fabulous. I mean, I think there's, I don't know, four or five cuts that I really like. And then I went back and listened to the previous one, and I'm not sure. I might like that one even better. So it's kind of touch and go between the two of them. But I'm enamored enough that they will be here in September, and I'm thinking about making that date.
Don't just think about it. Do it.
Are you gonna? We always talk about the barbecues with Nicholas, but think about all the barbecues David could have.
That's true.
Could be like, you know, before all the cool shows in Brooklyn, pre-show barbecue at David's place, right?
It's true. Or I could just invite him over afterward. You know,
right? Could be the after party,
the after show party,
right?
You know, you don't want to wind down.
Of course, then they'd all want to like crash on your couch then. Because that's what indie rock bands do. Yeah, you could do that.
That's cool.
Somebody at like Studio 54 like had to have after parties, right?
Yeah. Sure.
You could be like the Studio 54 of yes. of Brooklyn of indie rock shows.
Yeah.
You could take care of all these bands, make sure they're. Of course, they all live there, so.
Yeah, they don't need
Yeah, they don't actually need a place. Well, you know, can only work with the out of town bands, but
right.
There are plenty of those too, so.
Right. So
that'll be okay.
Of all of the tracks that you are highlighting, what are you going to go with? You got to make a pick.
Yes, I do. Well, you know, as I say, that was probably my my number one right there. But I like a lot of it. Okay, Valley to LA, which is
that's number nine. The deep right, cut.
Number nine.
Yeah.
Going with number nine.
Ooh.
So my feeling about this record is that if there were still such a thing as hits and there were still such a thing as radio, I get the feeling that they tried to move their game up a little so that they would, you know, produce a few hits that be played on the radio if there still was such a thing. It's that kind of vibe that I'm getting.
Yeah.
In comparison to the previous album.
I agree with that, although given some of the topics that they discuss in these songs,
I'm talking about the music.
No, right.
Yeah.
Musically, like, yeah, they're reliving, they're going retro, going 80s and early 90s.
Right.
But then discussing some really serious topics. And I, you know, I guess I hadn't even really thought of this, given how much I liked the last album, and I'm not typically a lyrics guy, but the name of the album is Welcome the Worms, which means, like, I'm I'm probably going to die.
Uh-huh.
And so...
Yeah, that's kind of dark.
Yeah, that was... I kind of missed that. I totally... And now when listening to this, I'm like, this band definitely has a dark side.
Did we mention that this new album is called Don't You Think You've Had Enough? I think we didn't mention that.
Yeah.
So that's what it's called. Yeah.
Yep. So, I would say drugs are definitely a theme that runs through one way or the other.
Yep.
Sometimes positive, sometimes not.
I think that, don't you just think, like, from what we've been playing, that maybe we can win Barrett over with this? I'm like, he might be thinking, yeah, this is actually not too bad. So I'm thinking.
I think so. Barrett's probably like, as long as we can win Chris over with Black Midi, you can win me over with maybe, Bleach.
So maybe Barrett's up to a 2 from a 1 on this one. So you guys set me up perfectly because Chris picked the, you know, the power pop song, and then David's song was kind of the mid tempo with the organ in there, you know.
Yeah.
And so I got to pick the disco song, right? There's a couple of them that are kind of disco and like, and they're really well done, I think, which is great. Like, you know, you want to see a band like this live to see, for me, how well do they pull off the disco song? Because I think the power pop songs live, it translates really easily. But the disco ones, it's kind of got to be precise and you got to have good sound quality and everything. So I'm sure they'll come to South by Southwest next year for us to see them, just for us, probably. Also, there's kind of a cool whistle in this one, too. Number 2, Hard to Kill. Yeah, what's not to like about that?
But so, again, right. Lyrics are very dark.
I kind of just didn't pay attention to them. I was like enjoying the disco beat and the bouncy bass, and there's even a cowbell in there, and it's like, yeah.
So how many bands do you think in the wake of the Will Ferrell cowbell sketch on SNL just put cowbell in there as a joke?
I don't know. It's a good question. Whenever I've played in some of the bands that I've played in, the drummer has a cowbell, and they usually don't use it very often. But I always have to walk over to the drum set and just play it because it's just so fun, right? You just hit the thing. You try to play like the beginning of "We're an American Band." You know how that goes,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. It's like I can't do it, but
I did make a joke on Twitter a little while ago that like you add a whistle to any song and it immediately becomes a party song.
Yeah.
And as on the Pitchfork feed, I'm watching Parquet Courts. And they have a song where a guy's like literally playing a sports, like a referee whistle, like and it's, I think my theory is borne out completely. You add a whistle to any song and it immediately becomes a party song.
So the Sound Opinions guys, they said that's the best whistle since Peter, Bjorn, and John. Remember that Young Folks?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Right, right.
That was like indie rock. Was that sort of groundbreaking indie rock? Like, when that song came out, it was like, this is now indie rock.
Yeah.
It was like 2006 or something, right? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there was a video for it.
Yeah. Think how young we all were in 2006. God, I don't know. I think I was an aging rocker already, so, yeah. Yeah, so I've turned around on this. I went from skeptical to every time I put it on, I'm like, yeah, this is just, it's enjoyable all the way through. Bleached, and the album Absolutely. Is called Don't You Think You've Had Enough.
Yes. Please listen to this album.
Yeah.
And please get her some help.
Because yeah, Jesus. It is a little concerning sometimes, isn't it? It's like that last Dive album where you're like, okay, this guy's going to be dead. And there won't be another album. Yeah. I don't think this one's that dark. All right. Let's talk about another band. Chris, did you ever listen to Necking?
I know nothing about this. So
oh, good. So we're going to... Chris is the straight man now.
Right.
It's going to be like, what is that? The Dick Clark thing where we play it and you give like a rating. Like, is it thumbs up or down, or do you give it like a number? Yeah, I can't remember.
It's okay. I can dance to it.
So here's the thing. Jeremiah mentioned this band. I listened to it. I said, they sound like band X. We're not going to say who that is. And then I mentioned it to David, and then he listened to it, and he said, it sounds like band X. Same band. So we did come up with the same band comparison. So do you think Chris can come up with it? David, you think he can do it?
I think it would be hard for anyone who is familiar with Band X.
Okay, well, let's just see. Let's see what happens.
So I'm the placebo yeah. in this
yeah.
study. Like, yes,
the study. I think they're from Vancouver. I should probably verify that. But the band is called Necking, and the album is called Cut Your Teeth. And I am going to play, let's be really radical, out of the 9 tracks, let's go with number 5. Called Still Exist. Went to work today. Still exists. But some groceries still exist. Got out of bed on time. I still exist. Drank fancy wine. I still exist. Call my mom on the phone. I still exist. Ate dinner alone. I still exist. I know it.
So if Chris hasn't gotten it yet, we can offer an additional inducement and play track 3, which is called Dig Me Out. Oh, excuse me. Drag Me Out.
All right.
You ruined it because I would have gotten it.
Oh, we would have gotten it.
Yeah.
Well, let's just play it anyway.
All right.
Drag Me Out.
So we can give it away now. It's Belle and Sebastian, right?
Yeah, that was it, right, Chris?
Yeah, it's Parquet Courts, right?
No, it was actually John Grant.
You mentioned John Grant on the last podcast. And
did you
like,
agree with me, by the way? That Wise Blood song? It sounded like John Grant.
I was literally riding on the show. Riding on the way to the Black Mini show with Barrett, when we listened to that, and he got bothered. He's like, oh, fuck, because he's Mr. John Grant. As am I. I love John Grant. I didn't disagree all that much. Like, it's the whole, like, really super emotional, like, yeah.
Yeah. I think there may have been a specific John Grant song that I was thinking of, but it just had that same vibe. Yeah.
Anyway, necking. That is clearly Sleater Kenny.
Right, yeah. So this is really funny. I was on a ferry in Scotland. There's a history here because last year, two of my favorite things from the year, I was listening on a ferry in Scotland.
It was when were you in Scotland?
Like the first 2 weeks of July.
Because I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to the first half hour of the last podcast.
You missed it all. Yeah, that was important. That was very important. You shouldn't miss that. Oh my God. You didn't delete the file?
I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
It was nice if you didn't delete the file. So I was on a ferry, and last year when I was on the ferry, I heard Bodega, which I loved, and the Rockateens, which I loved. So this year I'm on the ferry, and I get a message from Jeremiah. Anyone liking the new Necking album? And so I said, I'm listening on a ferry. First impression, kind of like early Sleater Kinney when Janet Weiss liked what they were doing. Because she doesn't like it anymore. She quit the band. You hear that?
No.
Yeah. So then Barrett said, you're predisposed to liking music you hear on ferries. So predisposed me to like this. In fact, I think like the first couple of tracks are even more Sleater Kinney than the two that we just played. So except the bass is more prominent here. I mean, Slater Kinney doesn't really have bass, but they just have low guitar parts.
So Jeremiah didn't send you a message saying, "Does anybody like necking?" And you're like, "Yeah."
You're like, "That was inappropriate, yeah, Jeremiah." Yeah.
Depends, Jeremiah.
He did say he was going to try to get into a show tonight by showing off his legs. He did say that. So
this could make South by Southwest very interesting next year.
Yeah. Okay, we got to play another track, right?
Yeah, I think we should probably get to that soon.
A lot of good ones. Let's try number 4 called Boss.
Oh, yeah.
So you're in Slater Kinney, and you're like, you listen to this band. What do you say to yourself? Are you honored that a band has completely stolen your sound? Or are you like, why don't they play something, you know, that they make up themselves?
There aren't that many bands that sound like a lot like Slater Kinney. So I would think that, assuming that they're nice people, I'd be like, that's cool. You're cool.
So you're honored.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be. But, okay, you know, if you didn't like the people, then you'd be pissed off. You know, maybe.
I suppose.
So Vancouver, I was just thinking about this. You know, it's kind of like the same region, right?
Yeah.
They're just a little
right
north.
Up the road.
Just in Canada.
Yep.
Canadian Slater Kinney. That's what we'll call them. But they're it's hard for me to not like a band where the bass is so prominent.
Yeah.
The punchy bass.
You're so biased.
Very fun. Yeah, I'm a little bit biased. Only a little bit. And the album, I love it. 9 songs and 22 and a half minutes. That's like a fun length. It just never gets boring. In fact, I was listening to the Bleached album and in my office. And I'm like, it's still going? And I really love the album, but I'm like, wow, what a long album. And I think it's like 39 or 40 minutes. But as I've listened to so many short albums lately,
right,
that it's like, wow. Maybe my attention span's getting shorter.
I did have a question for you, being a bass player. I watched on Pitchfork the live stream of Black Midi. The Black Midi bass player plays bass chords. Yeah. Like, he'll play like all 4 strings together in a chord. Is that common? Is that something you do?
I don't, but it's not totally uncommon.
Really?
Yeah, you have to be a little bit better than me to do that. But, I mean, you could do it. It's doable. Yeah, some people play chords.
It gave a really interesting sound.
Yeah. Well, you want to hear an example of bass chords?
I'd love that.
Let's just be topical. Here's an example of bass chords.
Yeah, but that's like two strings.
Yeah, it's still a chord. Okay. It counts as a chord.
Fine.
It's from a Bleached album. Okay, yeah. That's a small chord. You're talking about like the whole four strings. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
he's playing all four strings.
Yeah, people do it. People do it. I generally don't. In fact, I never do. Because you would actually have to like have all your fingers. You have to have better dexterity than I have.
But guitar players play chords that are four strings at least.
Or six, yeah. So if you were a guitar player and you played bass, you'd be like, boy, these are big strings. But you could play chords without much problem. So, yeah. No, it's cool. It's a style. And, you know, a lot of bass players play... with, you know, their fingers, so they can play, like, really complicated stuff with multiple fingers, where I play with a pick, so I'm playing, like, one thing at a time, kind of like primitive punk rock bass.
You're not playing Archipelago.
No, and I'm not playing, you know, like, John Entwistle. I always say he's, like, a category unto himself. There's, like, bass players, and then there's John Entwistle, because it's not even the same thing.
So, wait, I think Chris just buried the lead. Did he just reveal that he not only... went to see Black Midi live, but was also watching them on video? What is he, a glutton for punishment?
He just feels the need to study everything because he's an academic.
Right. I got into it deep.
Yeah.
I'm going deep undercover as a Black Midi fan.
Right.
I think it's known as hate watching.
No, he's up to a 2, and I think it's rising. I think he's up to like a 3.5 by now.
You wait till the end of the year when Black Midi's on my top 10.
Yeah. It's going to keep, it's like edging its way up, and it might be like tied for number 11, and like something will be like, you're not that enthusiastic, and it just bumps. It just barely cracks number 10.
On Twitter, I put out like a list of my top 20 albums of the year so far.
Yeah, I can't. I hate doing that.
Yeah, why?
Because it's like it's no fun. Because you got to wait till the end.
Because
Okay, here's the thing. What if you put out your top 10 through June or whatever, your top 20, and then you have to change the order at the end of the year because your impressions might change, right?
Right.
And then you look inconsistent. Right?
I didn't do them in order.
Oh, you just put the whole
list. I'm like, here's 20 albums I liked. Okay, well that's the first year.
I could probably do that.
And half of the literally half of them are just people I saw at South by Southwest.
Yeah, well, we saw a lot of good stuff.
So our friend Steve Hyden put out a list, and so I was like, I feel like I should do the same thing.
Sure,
because there are 20 albums that I really like this year.
Oh yeah,
and since then I've listened to 5 more that I really like. So
25.
So I'm at 25. Yeah. The question is, who makes the top 10?
Right. Well, and we are only at the end of July.
Right.
Now it'll settle down, but usually August, September, October is usually a pretty big month.
Is it?
Yeah. But then they die. The end of October, basically, it ends. Right.
Yeah, the other reason to float that list early, of course, is get the band's attention so that they can start sending Chris, you know, bottles of whiskey and stuff like that.
True. Good point. Because they know they have a chance.
Well, this was like a month ago, and it hasn't been successful, so...
I thought you were going to say, as an influencer, you know, like, because if Chris has, just if he just mentions them, you're a lot more likely to see it on, like, the Pitchfork list at the end of the year. Because one of That's the true. Influential That's people... had it on the list, right?
That's true.
I've tried desperately to convince Scotch companies that I'm an influencer, so they just send me samples, and it has not worked. Mm-hmm. So,
well, keep trying. Never give up. That's our theme.
I will not.
Never give up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have more faux Slater Kinney songs?
No.
To play?
Nope. We don't have any more. That's it. There are 9 of them. So we've played 3 and there's 9. So that's cool. It's solid.
Yeah.
That's a good sample.
Have we reviewed the fair use laws on this? How much are we allowed to play?
I don't know.
Oh.
Probably not as much as we play.
Yeah. Necking or necked? Necking?
Necking.
Is going to sue the pants off of us.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah.
They might. We keep saying that, and we keep, you know, thinking that that would give us great publicity if somebody would sue us, but nobody ever does.
Yeah.
For the record, necking, I love what I've heard so far, even though it's the first time I've ever heard any of it.
Yeah, that's good. That's always good.
Yeah. We should please come on the podcast. We can hash all this
out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, I just remembered something. You mentioned Riot Fest. I looked at the poster for Riot Fest, and I didn't really see very much there that interested me, but I did notice that our friends Pew Pew Pew, they're
our
coming
boys.
Down from Canada for Riot Fest.
That's
so
pretty cool.
So maybe you can induce them to come up to Madison.
So they have this thing where they have a giant list of all the bands playing, but they don't even tell you who's playing on what day. Who the hell knows when they're going to announce that? So you don't really know, and there's no way I would commit to going for 3 days. But hopefully we're going to go. We're going to be in Chicago that weekend to see Fontaine's DC. But that's another story.
Yeah, exactly.
They had to postpone their tour for quote unquote health reasons. So hopefully, I guess. Is that the right term? Postpone their tour? They canceled a bunch of dates at like festivals.
Yeah, they had a lot of festival dates, and they canceled it because of health problems, which might be a euphemism for something else. I just hope everybody's okay.
Yeah, a whole bunch of 21-year-old guys. It sounds like they're planning on picking it back up like at the beginning of September, maybe. So hopefully we'll be able to see them in Chicago. Mid-September, which is the same weekend as this Riot Fest. So I'm kind of curious to see if the same day, if the lineup's good, you know, might be fun to go for one day. Anyway, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
So, I think that's all we've got. Do we have anything else? You guys, bonus content? Should we record something for the people who paid the $10 a month now?
What insane person would do such a
that's
thing?
That's not, it should be 100 a month, I think. 10 a month.
No, that's the podcast that we record every Wednesday, only for those folks.
Yeah, that's
a premium.
Literally, if you listen to this podcast, there's a 50% chance you will end up on the podcast.
It's pretty much
for free.
Pretty much how it works. Yeah. All right. Chris, thanks for coming in live in studio.
Sure. I just got done playing the softball game, so I'm sweaty and stinky.
You know, the problem I heard beforehand, you know what the problem is? Is that Chris's team is not good enough to get him enough at bats. If they only could get him at the plate a little bit more often,
the
production would be incredible. But
we are a terrible team. For those not in the U.S., which, given our listenership, seems to be a lot of people, in the game of softball, which is like baseball, if you're on a better team, you get more at bats, and
you keep getting hits.
Because
they can't get you out,
right?
Yeah,
because your team keeps getting hits,
yeah,
and it cycles through the lineup more often. Yeah. But if you're on a bad team, as I am. You get like 2 at bats, and it's really depressing.
It's not the bang for your buck; just isn't as good,
right? So you drive all the way to the game and play, and you get 2 at bats, and it's not. Yeah.
Even if you were the DH, that'd be even worse. Do you have the softball DH?
We have no DH. Yeah, the pitcher hits in softball.
Yeah, yeah, they should. Well, you know, while you guys were seeing Black Midi, I was watching the Brewers get just absolutely hammered.
Yeah. Yeah. The good thing is they can only lose one game at a time. So you give up 14 runs, you come back the next day.
Right. That's right. Lose them one game at a time. That's my strategy when I go to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Lose your money as slowly as possible. Right? It's really the only realistic outcome you can have.
Right.
David from the New York City Bureau, thank you for your participation and good musical taste.
You're welcome, and I'm sorry I didn't have any live reports, and I'll have to start working on that.
I wouldn't want to have to put you on probation, so got to start getting out to.
I know, I'm on the spot now. I have no excuse, right?
What have we got? I don't know. We have a little bit of a drought though here in Madison after the Black Midi show. There's not a whole lot coming up here, but when it does, we will be there, right?
Oh yeah, we'll find something.
We will. Okay, time to sign off. I think we should. Let's talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom,
and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.
I got to use this one more.
Yeah, drop that in.
Right?
Literally everything I say, you should
drop
that
in. I keep thinking when Chris tells a joke, we got to boom.